Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Prophecies fulfilled, signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children."
Very good evening to all listeners. This is Eben, and the program is Issues of Life. Spirit FM is the station. Sorry for starting late, a little technical difficulty, but it's been solved. And the program starts from now, and indeed, we thank God for tonight. And it's always a pleasure to come your way Saturday evenings. Well, let me start with some of the news happening in the course of the week, and we'll proceed with it. In the last few weeks, or not few, quite a number of weeks now, we've been running this series talking about the coming revival and the Great Awakening. And it's been quite a helpful topic for a lot of people. People are learning things regarding the times we live in and what believers should be expecting, and how we should prepare ourselves for these days and times. But before that, for that segment, Pastor Roger will be joining us from Accra by phone. And he's been such a blessing to this program in the last editions that we've been having. And we thank God for that part. All right. Today's news are a bit quite interesting. interesting times indeed, as we always say on this program. Let me start with: records are being shattered in Europe and Russia amid deadly heat wave. As temperatures approach 46 degrees in the Pacific Northwest this weekend, a second regime of top-tier heat will scorch Europe amid a record-breaking heat wave. Monthly records have already fallen as highs climb to near 44 degrees in some areas, with temperatures in the Arctic Circle spiking close to 90 Fahrenheit. Moscow and St. Petersburg soared to their highest June temperature on record Wednesday, reaching the mid-90s, that's the Fahrenheit, whilst Estonia and Belarus established new all-time highs for the month this week. On Thursday, Hungary and Malta also set new June temperature records, hitting 40 degrees Celsius. You know, a lot is happening in the weather. A lot is happening. Okay, then we go to India, where we have new epidemic of black fungus is sweeping across India. You might want to become familiar with black fungus because cases are popping up all over India right now. In recent months, India has become the epicenter of the COVID pandemic, and many COVID patients are also developing mycosis, also known as black fungus. If black fungus attacks you, there is a really good chance that you are either going to be disfigured for life or die. In fact, mortality rate for black fungus is far, far higher than it is for COVID. Even if you don't die, the damage that black fungus can cause can be completely and utterly devastating. The following comes from CBN News, where it says, the fungus attacks the nose, eyes, and brain, causing blackening over the areas. In severe cases, doctors commonly have to remove the sinus tissue and even the eyes. And when it attacks the brain, the chances of the patient's survival diminish. Quote, the fungus eats whatever comes its way and causes necrosis because it attacks the blood supply to that area, turning them black, unquote, according to Watao. It goes on to say that mycomycosis was also a serious infection, was always a serious infection, even in non-COVID times. It has cropped up more in COVID times. It's not good. Then, no wars and rumors of wars have been trending in various ways. We have Russian fleet off Hawaii practices sinking U.S. aircraft carrier. Russia's defense ministry has announced it sank an aircraft carrier just 35 miles off the coast of Hawaii in a huge war games exercise that has alarmed the U.S. Alarmed. Okay. At least 20 Russian warships, submarines, and supply vessels flanked by 20 fighter jets are taking part in these exercises, the biggest since the Cold War. Russia says that they are 300 miles off the coast of Hawaii. Yet, unconfirmed satellite images from June 19th appear to show them much closer, within 35 miles off the U.S. state. Russia says their forces are at a distance of about 2,500 miles southeast of the Kuril Islands. The location would correspond broadly with reports from the U.S. media channels that Russian warships were conducting their maneuvers between 300 and 500 miles west of the main Hawaiian islands. And their actions have alarmed the Pentagon. Interesting. Alarmed the Pentagon. Okay. These are just war games. And indeed, if the warnings that coming from a lot of the prophets are anything to go by, then they will have to take this warning serious, because it's not going to be war games all the time. It's going to turn into reality. Just a matter of time. Taiwan warns that it needs to prepare for military conflict with China. Interestingly, when I saw this, I just laughed, because I just can't see how Taiwan can prepare to face China. I mean, there is not a possibility, because I mean, they are no match to China in any way. This tiny island, to fight China, and it's not possible. And I don't think they also have the support of the U.S. Had it been Trump, that would have been a different story, but not this current one. So I don't think they stand any chance of really facing China, because the threat now is China is likely to take over. I mean, do whatever it takes by the time you realize they've seized them and then taking over, because they've always demanded that it belongs to Taiwan, belongs to them. And it seems now they've seen the weakness in the U.S. system now. So this is the time to flex their muscles. While all these signals of, tension in the world increasing in various ways. And then this headline, very, very worrying. Christian families driven into jungles of Odisha state in India. Tribal animists forced more than 50 Christians from 3 villages to flee their homes and take shelter in the jungles of eastern India last month. The Christians belong to 13 tribal families of Rayagada district, Odisha state, who have been stranded in the jungle without proper shelter, food, water, and electricity. It's the rainy season now, and we fear the sickness that comes with rainfall, the poisonous insects, and the unhygienic conditions we are living in. Nori Kanjaka of Sikapai village told Morning Star News. 5 Christian families fled Kotlanga village on June 7th after receiving threats. They took the threats seriously, as villagers who practice traditional religion in Sikapai, 20 miles away, on May 23rd had destroyed the roofs of the homes of 6 Christian families, looted their belongings and beat them, driving them into the jungle, victims said. The villagers in Kotlanga had threatened to assault the 5 Christian families and prevented them from building their roofs. Opposition was so fierce, according to sources, that the Christians had to flee to the jungle to avoid attack on the 9th of June 7th and join the Sikapai Christians who were already sheltering in there. Tribal animists in other area villages are driving out Christians, Jang Kanjaka said. Quote, after the villagers in other villages heard of how we were chased from our village, they too have forced Christians living amongst them to leave the village, either by threats or by physically attacking them or by ill-treating them, unquote. Kanjaka told Morning Star News from the jungle. And the saddest part is, when they reported it to the police, all the police could say was, well, they should go back to their villages and do what the traditional people and worship the idols and forget about their Christian faith. Indirectly, we can't help you. You are on your own. And if the police says this, then you know that it's left with you and God. But, you know, these people still hold on to their faith despite the persecution they face and all that. They are not denying Christ. They are not giving up the faith. They are still holding on strong and tight. And, you know, that's why I keep saying on this program that the Eastern type of Christianity is the real Bible type, the one that the book of Acts experienced. That's what the Eastern type of Eastern Christianity can be likened to, where they face the persecution and they don't quit, they don't leave their faith. Unlike us in the Western, who have taken up the Western, that back type of Christianity, where it's like anything goes, we've been told that all is well. And for us in countries like Ghana, where fortunately Christians have their freedom and we've not had that type of resistance and attacks as it's happening in northern Nigeria now. So we can easily be deceived and think that Christianity is all there is. The Sunday, dress well, go to church. If you're free in your freedom, do whatever you want. Free, walk around, hold Bible, no problems. But it's not so for others elsewhere. And people don't want to hear these things, but unfortunately, it's going to spread gradually. It's spreading gradually to other countries. And it's just a matter of time. That is how Christians will be treated in the world. The hatred is gradually increasing. We'll get to the point where Christians will be hated, the most hated set of people anywhere in the world. And this word, Jesus said that we'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And these are the days gradually building up. All right. The next news says that Christian pastor killed over outrage to Muslims. And this a radical Muslim has confessed to police in Uganda that he killed a 70-year-old pastor either this month. Earlier this month, there was a typo there. Earlier this month, because of Allah's word to kill all infidels who mislead Muslims by sharing the gospel. The accused, identified as Imam Uthman Olinga, told police he killed Bishop Francis Obo, senior pastor of Ipengere Pentecostal Revival Church Ministries International in Odapaku village in Ipengere sub-county on June 11th, according to Morning Star News. Olinga was one of the Muslim extremists dressed in Islamic attire who stopped Pastor Obo and his wife on their way home from a market around 8:30 p.m. His wife, Christian Obo, said Olinga openly confessed to police that he can't regret that he killed the bishop because he did it in the course of Allah's word to kill all infidels who mislead Muslims. He added that Allah will be with him in jail, but kafiri deserved the killing. One of the attackers told the pastor, who oversaw 17 churches across the region and had been sharing the Christ with Muslims, that he was an infidel who caused Muslims to leave Islam and blaspheme the words of Allah, and that today Allah has judged you. Interesting. A week before the murder, the couple had invited a former Islamic teacher to testify on how he became a Christian at their church. Christian Obo recalled, area Muslims were so upset with the church because it offered a former Islamic teacher a pig as part of the micro enterprise livestock project that helped raise funds for the church, she added. Describing the incident, she said, as I moved a few meters in a hurry trying to save my life, I heard a little noise and wailing from my husband and realized that his life was in danger. When she reached home, she was trembling and unable to speak, she said, and her children took her to a hospital. When she regained consciousness the following morning, she told her oldest son and his siblings to go to the site. Reaching there, they were shocked and fearful as they found a big number of Christians and relatives gathered around the dead body, mourning their bishop after being murdered by the Muslims. Obo was quoted as saying, Christian persecution. Then the next says, another one, employer allegedly sends hitmen to kill Christian. A Christian employee, Muslim supervisor, sent people to kill him last month in eastern Uganda after he refused to convert to Islam, sources said. Christians at the funeral of evangelist Fred Isoko, who drove a van for Ashirafu Kasenyi's cargo transport company, said Kasenyi was behind the killing of Isoko on May 22nd in Kagumu village, Kibuku district. On 23rd May, police arrested a suspect who said Kasenyi had sent him to kill Isoko, sources said. That day, Kasenyi was killed when a mob of more than 50 angry residents, most of them members of the churches, attacked him. When Kasenyi, on the evening of May 22nd, called Isoko to meet with him, the Christian, known for proclaiming Christ within and outside the church, walls, got friend Francis Maka to accompany him, according to Maka. When we met Kasenyi, he gave Fred some money to go and buy some meat at the Kadama Trading Center and to bring it back for supper so as to have a business discussion the following day, Maka told the Morning Star News. As we were about to reach the trading center, three people stopped us. They said they had information for Fred, so I moved at a distance, and immediately one of them removed a long knife and cut his neck as I fled for my life and reported the incident at the Kugumu police post. Police and hundreds of people converged around the Isoko's body early the next morning, he said. Earlier in the month, Isoko secretly recorded a conversation on his phone in which Kaseni, a Muslim teacher known as Sheikh, threatened to fire him if he refused to convert to Islam. A relative said, you need to convert to Islam if you are to remain as my employee, Kaseni says in the May 7th recording. The relative said, Isoko replies, quote, I am not going to leave Jesus Christ. Better to resign than leave Christianity. Oh, I like it. I'm not going to leave Jesus Christ. Better to resign than leave Christianity, unquote. After Isoko was killed, police arrested the suspect who said Kaseni contracted him and four others to kill Isoko and seven pastors, Maka and others said. Kibuku police rang Kagumo police ordering them to arrest Kaseni, but before they could do so, community members went to his home and killed him, sources said. They also destroyed his house, gardens, livestock, and others. So, this is what is happening in some places where Christians are standing to the end. And the essence of this news happening now in increasing numbers is to also give us the encouragement to understand that when we read things in church history, even from the Bible, of like Stephen and all these encounters that people had and they stood to the end, it's still possible in our time. And actually, it is happening in our time. And that's the reason why we have to see these things as encouraging news for us. Though, yes, in the light of normal news setting, it's bad news, it's negative news, it's sad and all, someone killed and all. But as Christians, we have to understand it from a different perspective and see it from a different angle. Okay, then this next one, we are getting to the set of news which are really, 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 quote and unquote, crazy. I mean, let me call it that way. And this world is really getting off. It's really getting off. U.S. Air Force Base hosts drag show to demonstrate commitment to diversity and inclusion. The U.S. Air Force Base hosts drag show to demonstrate commitment to diversity and inclusion. And Nellis Air Force Base near Las Vegas hosted the drag queen show last week in order to demonstrate its commitment to the diversity and inclusion. The spokesperson from Nellis told Newsweek, the base is, quote, committed to providing and championing an environment that is characterized by equal opportunity, diversity, and inclusion, unquote. Adding that, quote, base leaders remain supportive of events and initiatives that reinforce the Air Force's emphasis on diversity and inclusion towards recognizing the value every one of our airmen brings to the team, unquote. You know, this June is the LGBT month and so the Pride month, as they call it. So it's like they are trending all over. I mean, the rainbow colors and all. You know, someone sent me a message this evening whilst when I got here that they are showing some of the European matches, Euro 2020 matches, the LGBT flag is displayed and in the billboards or whatever. Actually, the next one talks about the EU and then the European 2020 and issues regarding the LGBT. So let me just talk about that. Where it says, fans make pro-LGBT protests at the Germany and then Hungary football game. Spectators have carried out rainbow-colored protests at a Germany and Hungary Euro 2020 football match in Munich in support of LGBT rights. UEFA blocked the Allianz Arena from lighting up in rainbow colors due to an anti-gay law passed in Hungary. In protest, a spectator wearing a German shirt ran onto the pitch with a rainbow flag while the Hungarian anthem was played before the game. Other fans also waved multicolored flags during the group stage match. Hungarian MPs voted last week to ban the depiction of or promotion of homosexuality to under 18s as part of the law against pedophilia or pedophiles. Germany and 13 other EU states have condemned the new law, prompting Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban to cancel a visit to Wednesday's football match, according to German media. Outside the Munich stadium, a campaign to get as many as 11,000 supporters as possible to wear stickers or carry flags was coordinated by Christopher Street Day, which organizes annual LGBT parades in July across Germany. UEFA had previously been criticized for not allowing Munich to use rainbow colors in the stadium. And the next one is Dutch Prime Minister says that there is no place in EU for Hungary with anti-LGBT law. So Hungary has no business being in the European Union anymore, according to the Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte, in a fresh rebuke to Prime Minister Viktor Orban over new anti-LGBT legislation. Arriving for the EU Leaders Summit, Mr. Orban insisted his country's law had nothing to do with gay rights. But Mr. Rutte's comments are a measure of widespread frustration with Hungary. He said he was aware he could not push Hungary out of the EU by himself, so it had to be done step by step. The long-term aim is to bring Hungary to its knees on this issue, he said. And the question is, why is the law controversial? The law focuses on increasing punishment. Listen, increasing punishment for convicted pedophiles. But an amendment was passed on June 15th, banning the portrayal or promotion of homosexuality among under-18s. Whilst it could affect sex education, advertising, and even stop TV favorites such as Friends or Harry Potter being broadcast until late at night, there are also fears that vulnerable young people could be deprived of important support. Teaching sex education in schools will be limited to people approved by the government. Mr. Orban told reporters that the law had been misunderstood, saying this is not against homosexuality. It's about the rights of the kids and the parents. The issue made worldwide headlines when European football's governing body UEFA turned down a request by a German city. That's what I read earlier. And then now, listen to what some of the EU leaders, European leaders, have said. The Dutch Prime Minister was among the 17 EU leaders to sign a letter ahead of the summit pledging to continue fighting against discrimination of the LGBTI community, reaffirming our defense of their fundamental rights, unquote. Although Hungary was not singled out, the message was clear, as 13 EU countries had earlier issued a joint statement expressing grave concern about the new law. Luxembourg Prime Minister Xavier Bettel, who is openly a gay, said he would tell Mr. Orban he was wrong to conflate homosexuality with the pedophilia within the law. Belgian Prime Minister Alexander De Croo, wearing a rainbow badge on his lapel, said the law was backward. They've gone too far. It starts with discriminating against LGBT and ends up with silencing people who say they don't like it. French President Emmanuel Macron said the law doesn't seem to be in line with our values. Interesting. And he hoped it could be changed through dialogue. Germany's Angela Merkel has already condemned the law as wrong, and European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has said action will be initiated against Hungary. Among the leaders who did not add their names to either the statement or the letter was Polish Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki. Poland's ambassador to Berlin, Andrzej, this name that I can't mention, came to the defense of the government in Budapest, arguing that it was evident and beyond doubt that the Hungarian parliament had the right to protect school children by law from having to deal with issues such as homosexuality, saying this has nothing to do with intolerance, let alone persecuting homosexuals. And you know, this particular news highlights how depraved these world leaders have become, the EU leaders. I mean, it tells you that, you know, this law is to protect children, but see how they are angry that A country is protecting its school children. It tells you that this world has gone too far now. I mean, yes, we know it's happening, things are happening, but when now the right is wrong openly and they are shameless about it, completely shameless about it, and rather the values that they now proclaim, the demonic and evil values, is what now leaders, world leaders, are championing, that that should be the right. It tells you this world, it's only a revival that can save the situation, because we are headed towards a very, very serious scenario where the West is just, because now common sense is no longer applicable, because it's all about, this is where the world is going, everybody should follow. And you know, in Ghana this week, I read that the parliament, the Speaker of Parliament was saying they are going to, you know, consider passing laws to tighten it against the LGBTI community and all that. And, you know, yes, I know it's a good thing they want to do, but you see the conditions and the pressure that will start coming from the West, because you realize that, yes, we want to do it. We are supposed to be a sovereign nation, like Hungary is supposed to be a sovereign nation, but because they are part of EU, now see the way they are putting pressure on them, and they are going to discuss it, that they are going to punish them as a country, as the EU bloc is going to consider it, according to their EU president. So you realize Ghana will want to, already our laws, which are even not too strict, they are not happy about it. And if we are to go a step further to really make it a strict law, you can imagine what will happen. The pressure that will come and the conditionalities. And they will start putting pressure on the president that, hey, you owe us. You come for grants. You come and beg for money. And now they will start putting conditions. Either or. Either you stop your laws or forget about grants. Either you stop this or forget about that. You see, that's what they will do to us. And so you realize they may want to do something in parliament, but I can tell you they will not have it that easy, because pressure that will come from the West. And these are the same leaders we go and borrow money from. These are the same people we go and borrow money from. So the world is just going off. It's just going off. And this also indicates that God will not look on forever. No. God is not going to look on forever, because there will be a move of God. Either way, the revival and, I mean, judgment also, because eventually things are going to, the shaking will have to start. The shaking is going to start, because God will not look on forever. At a point, he has to step in. Because they are virtually now provoking God. You see, and for, if you've not thought about it, you look at it from this angle. I believe the highest insult anyone can make to God is to take a symbol that he, God, has created. And in this case, I'm talking of the rainbow. And to take the rainbow that he has created, let me just quickly read Genesis, the Noah encounter. Genesis. Okay, there we go. Okay, all right. So, you know, we all know the story of, you know, Noah anyway. So, after the sacrifice, then, you know, God brought his this rainbow as a symbol. And this same symbol that he, God, brought up into the skies is what these people are also taking to say that that's what we are going to use as a provocative sign to God. And it baffles me as to how, virtually, it's like the opposite. What God is giving a reminder that I will not destroy the earth again with water. They don't care about that. Now, they've taken his symbol, his rainbow colors, and they've turned it as their symbol of their lifestyle, which is an abomination to him, God. And they use it to symbolize that, yes, this is our life. And this is how we want to live our lives. We are changing ourselves. Those who are men say they want to be women. Those who are women say they want to be men. And those who want to be men, men, men versus women, women versus women, whatever combinations they want to. And they are flagging themselves with this rainbow colors. And it's just getting off. This, I saw a news, one secondary school, the, is it Ola Girls also in the Volta region also, when, where it's like, they said, these people are making inroads there. And you see, it's getting serious. Even in Ghana, it's getting serious. Parents have to be very careful because, you see, when you start seeing these teenagers getting interested in wearing rainbow-colored things, you have to get worried as a parent. Ideally, I mean, there's nothing wrong. The rainbow colors has always been with us, beautiful color combinations. But now, it's unfortunate that these people have hijacked it and they've taken it as their own. And I learned that they saw the children were given paraphernalia of, I mean, the school, in this case, they had some, the students had paraphernalia of the rainbow, the LGBT grouping, their things. You know, these are, they are making inroads into the schools now. You see, and they have money. They have money to make the influence. So parents really have to step up the game. And I believe that in the next few weeks we'll be going digital parenting again, another edition of digital parenting. Yesterday I was having a chat with a friend of mine. The first edition we did 2 years ago, he was part of it, and he's in the US now. And fortunately or unfortunately, he's in one of the deepest places where he sees these things in real time, California, where he is. And so we'll be starting it soon there on this program, Digital Parenting. And we are, a lot has to be shared for parents to understand the times, things happening, and it's not good. Parents have to step up the game. I've always said it on this program that the most difficult generation to be a parent is this generation, because the challenges that we are facing and confronted with as parents, no generation has ever experienced it. No. We are the most perverted generation, as you can put it. We are one generation that is confronted with high level of technological advancements never seen before. And the perversion has mixed up with technology. And the moral, I mean, everything is virtually a combination that is so dangerous to the child, to the teenager, to the youth. And that makes it very difficult as a parent now. So you just can't be a parent and just be operating by the way your parents brought you up. You would fail. For that one, I can guarantee you. If you want to be a parent and apply the same principles your mother and your father brought you up, or your uncle or your grandmother, the way they brought you up, you want to use those same standards and principles. Yes, for some things, you can apply same. But if in general, that is how you want to go in this technological era, then you fail at a point, because you get to a point where you realize that the children are more knowledgeable than you. And this is the reason why parents have to be upgraded in their knowledge skill sets in these areas. Yeah, because you can't underestimate the knowledge level of these children now. We can't underestimate it. All right, let me quickly get through a few news items. I think I'll just have to summarize some of them. In the UK, we have UK government attempting to criminalize prayer in conversion therapy ban. It doesn't get better anywhere. A Christian group in the UK has said it is alarming that the government is being urged to include in its proposed conversion therapy ban even gentle, non-coercive prayer to help individuals overcome unwanted sexual attractions or gender identity confusion. While not opposing a ban that protects people from harmful pseudo-medical practices, the Christian Institute said the idea that gentle, non-coercive prayer should be included in a list of illegal actions is alarming. In any event, it would violate the human rights of believers, added the charity that exists for the furtherance and promotion of the Christian religion in the United Kingdom and advancement of education. The charity issued a statement in response to a call from Jane Ozan, a prominent lesbian, Anglican, and former LGBT government advisor who is pushing for, quote, gentle, non-coercive prayer, unquote, to be included in legislation banning LGBT conversion therapy. Supporting the ban, David Walker, the Bishop of Manchester, told The Guardian earlier this month, quote, where activity has harmed someone, the person who has caused the harm should face prosecution, unquote. He added that activity should include prayer aimed at changing someone's sexual orientation. Whoa, a bishop indeed. However, Walker clarified that he was not referring to gentle, non-coercive prayer, but where there is a level of power imbalance and a level of force. Ozane, who is also pushing for full acceptance of same-sex marriage and transgenderism in the Church of England, responded to Walker's clarification saying, I'm very grateful to Bishop David for his clear support for a ban, although I would strongly refute that gentle, non-coercive prayer should be allowed. My worry is, why do they want to, for instance, listen to this statement where he says that he is pushing for transgenderism and this LGBT thing to be added to the Church of England to accept it, same-sex marriage and transgenderism to be fully accepted in the Church of England. Why do they want to impose and let the church accept what they want to do? But never have I seen a headline that they are pushing and forcing their ways, trying to get a mosque or a Muslim cleric or Islamic group or a Hindu group or Buddhist group to accept them. It's always the church. You see, so it's amazing that it's always the church that they decide that, oh, okay, this church should accept us. We want to penetrate this church and make inroads there so that they accept us. But you never hear them saying they are going to convince Muslim brothers to accept them, or Hindu brothers, or Buddhist brothers, or Shinto, whichever religion. They never talk about them. It's only the church. This is quite interesting. And the question is this. If you want to live your lifestyle, why do you want to associate yourself with a church? Why do you want to accept or convince yourself that you are a Christian? And yet the lifestyle is opposite that of a Christian. It just doesn't fit in. But these are some of the interesting things happening in our generation, which makes no sense. It's one of these things. Because why do you want to be a Christian? Just be in your life and feel free and enjoy your life there. But you still insist you want to be a Christian. Okay. And it doesn't get better. Again, Israel's foreign ministry, there's a new government in Israel now. Netanyahu lost the election, and then there's a new prime minister and a new government. Israel's foreign ministry waves LGBTQ pride flag for the first time. So Foreign Minister Yair Lapid instructed his ministry to raise an LGBT pride flag outside its Jerusalem headquarters in honor of Pride Month for the first time on Monday. Quote, the foreign ministry and its workers are leading a message of tolerance, brotherhood, and freedom, unquote, he tweeted. Deputy Foreign Minister Aidan Rowe, who is gay, said raising the rainbow flag was, quote, important news domestically and abroad, unquote. Quote, I remember myself as a 16-year-old boy with worries about the future, and I hope that this moment reassures young men and women throughout Israel and the world and sends a message of tolerance and acceptance to all of Israeli society, unquote, he said. In response, the far-right religious Zionist MK Itamar Ben-Gvir said the flag was a cheap provocation that insults religious sensitivities. Cheap provocation that insults religious sensitivities. And the last but two news items. Yes. Okay, hold on. Parents, another warning again. Sesame Street. I'm sure some parents know Sesame Street, where it's like this colorful, it's It's been a beautiful children's program for years, 51 years. My children watched it when they were growing up. It's been a good program. But, hey, this time, no. This generation, something is definitely wrong somewhere. Sesame Street introduces family with two gay dads for the first time in 51-year history. Sesame Street is marking Pride Month by showing a type of family that has never been seen in the 51-year history of the iconic children's television show. The show shared an episode last week called Family Day that features a family or a married gay couple of two dads with their daughter. A dad named Frank played Alex Weisman and a dad named Dave played by Chris Costa, along with their daughter Maya, played by Olivia Perez, joined the neighborhood family that surprises Big Bird at a party. A character in the episode observes that, quote, all of our families are so different, unquote. There's all kinds of different families, unquote, Frank says. But what makes us a family is that we love each other, unquote. Alan Murauka, the co-director of the episode and an actor who plays the owner of the Hooper store on the show, shared his joy about the special storyline. Quote, Sesame Street has always been a welcoming place of diversity and inclusion, unquote, according to Maroka. He wrote on Facebook, so I'm so excited to introduce Nina's brother Dave, his husband Frank, and their daughter Maya to our sunny streets. I'm so honored and humbled to have co-directed this important and milestone episode. Love is love, and we are so happy to add this special family to our Sesame family. Happy Pride to all, unquote. Oh, no, something is definitely wrong with this generation. And the last news item, it's off. Biden administration, that's the U.S. president, the current U.S. government, Biden administration warns school employees against trans discrimination in, quote, Dear Educator, unquote, letter. So the letter titled Dear Educator. And because of time, let me just quickly glance through and get to the important parts. On Wednesday, the Biden administration issued a letter to educators across the nation warning against discrimination of transgender people. According to the Christian Post, the letter titled Dear Educator was released on the 49th anniversary of the implementation of the Title IX. Title IX was created to provide equal opportunities for women and girls in education. Acting Assistant Secretary of Civil Rights at the Department of Education, Suzanne Goldberg, who authored the letter, explained to educators that Title IX's protection against sex discrimination encompasses discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Goldberg cited last year's Supreme Court ruling in Bostock versus Clayton County, which determined that it's impossible to discriminate against a person because of their sexual orientation or gender identity without discriminating against their individual based on sex. In conjunction with the Bostock decision, Goldberg noted that one reason for the Title IX change is the particular vulnerability of LGBTQI students and often overwhelming challenges these students face in education compared to their peers. Goldberg added, the United States Department of Education Office for Civil Rights works to ensure that Title IX's mandate protects students in all aspects of their education, including recruitment, admissions, counseling, financial assistance, athletics, protections from same-sex based harassment, which encompasses sexual assaults and other forms of sexual violence, treatment of pregnant and parenting students, discipline, and on, and then the treatment of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex students. Goldberg further asserted that the OCR will fully enforce the Title IX to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity in education programs and activities that receive federal financial assistance from the department. In addition to the letter, a fact sheet highlighting multiple examples of discrimination based on gender identity and sexual identity that the OCR could investigate was provided. Now listen to this. One example asserted that if a principal of a school instructed a high school level transgender girl wanting to use a girl's restroom to use a boy's restroom, the principal's actions will be considered discrimination under Title 9. So, this is going to now put the principals of schools into a position where you can't say no. So, if a boy says, I'm a girl, and so I want to go to the girl's washroom, you, the principal, you can't stop that so-called boy or girl, whatever it is. And you see, they are just destroying the children. And this is the generation that we find ourselves in. And it's very alarming, extremely alarming, because the news these days, yes, it's been on for some time, but it's getting overboard. Yes, it's getting overboard. And for how long will God continue to look on as this generation keeps pointing fingers at him and poking him with, you know, all sorts of obscenities? And the generation is becoming more anti-God by the day. The society is becoming more anti-God by the day. The system itself is turning to be anti-God. And this is the reason why we need a great awakening as Christians, and also for souls to be saved, because the current state of the world is just not ready for the Lord. It's just not ready for the coming of the Lord. It's just not ready for anything spiritual in terms of revival. But it's the Holy Spirit himself who knows how to do things. And that is the only thing that can save the church and save a lot of people. I'll be back after this short break.
Spirit on all the people.
Welcome back to Spirit 88.3 FM. Issues of Life is the program. This is Eben. Pastor Roger will be joining soon from Accra by phone. And we thank God for this season, this period that we've had, this series of the revival, talk about revival and all that. Indeed, the news says it all, that we need revival. The news is clear confirmation to the fact that we need revival in our land, because not only in the land, the world, because the way things are going is way off. And it's not, if anyone tells you it's going to get better, the only hope is when the revival comes. But if not, we are going down. The world is just sinking down. The devil is just roping in more souls, deceiving more into the kingdom. And it's worrying. If it was only the worldly people doing their thing, that's their thing. But it's invaded the church, and it's even trying to overtake the church, because you have instances where they are intentionally provoking, and they are virtually, they want to drag everybody along. So it's not just about their lifestyle. It's like everybody should accept them. And you see, and come to think of it, the whole thing is just irrational, because who walks around making noise about, if I'm a man, yes, I'm a man. So would I walk around and be holding a flag? Yes, Eben is a man. Look at me, I'm a man. I mean, why would I do that? Why would a woman hold a flag and be walking around, I'm a woman, look at me, I'm a woman. So as soon as you see them doing their thing, it means then there's something off the normal. And that's what they don't want to accept, that what they are doing is off and it's abnormal. Because if you are normal, male, female, you don't need to announce what you are, who you are, or what you are, whatever way you put it. If you're a man, you're a man. If you're a boy, you're a boy. Girl, a girl. Woman, girl. Whatever. So you don't have to announce to everybody that I am this. But now you people are insisting that, yes, this is who I am. And by force, accept me and call me, recognize me as such. If you fail to call them their right pronouns, now they call it misgendering. They've created the word for it. Misgendering them. And it's sad how now you have churches that are also bowing to it, that yes, it should be accepted. And it's getting off and off and off. The world as we know it is not going to be the same. It's not going to get any better. And these are the reasons why, as Christians, we should know how to ground ourselves or get grounded fully in the Lord, especially in these times we find ourselves in, because the days are getting darker and darker. And the only reason why we have to be more serious with these times is that it's either you stand firm in the light or the darkness will overshadow you and overtake you. So we have to draw the line and ensure that we are going to stay in the light and get into the brightest part of the light as much as we can. Because the darkness that is overtaking the world is already, what you are seeing is something else. I mean, but it's going to even get worse. And that's why we should be grounded fully in the word. And I believe Pastor Roger will be joining soon by phone. And let me... Okay.
Father, we ask you, just like William Booth did over 100 years ago, send the fire! Send the fire! Send the fire! Flame, send
Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. You're on air. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. And good evening to your cherished listeners.
Yeah, good evening.
We thank God for giving us an opportunity to meet and to discuss about the final harvest. This evening, I want to start with a prophecy Glenda sent on June 25th. That was yesterday. And the title of the prophecy is The Final Harvest.
Uh-huh.
It says, many of my children wonder why I am not moving them at this time. My children, places are being prepared for many of you, and these places are not yet ready. Be assured, you will be in safety at the proper time. Some of you who have great faith, I will not move. I desire to show my mighty power in the earth to unbelievers. In the time of Nebuchadnezzar, my servants Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah demonstrated my mighty power in your time. Even greater power will be shown as this is the season in the earth when the final harvest shall be reaped.
Mm-hmm.
Let me repeat that portion. It says, in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, my servants Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah demonstrated my mighty power. And in your time, even greater power will be shown as this is the season in the earth when the final harvest shall be reaped. After this season, all those who still refuse me will belong to the evil one, and my children shall come home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the scripture is Daniel chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Verse 15. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? This, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Reverend, this is where we have gotten to.
Oh, yeah.
Where people are daring God.
Mm-hmm.
The EU news against Hungary and the rest, it is about people asking, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And in the book of Exodus, Pharaoh also asked almost the same question to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that God that I should obey him?
Yeah.
You see, this is where the harvest comes in. Because the mighty power of God must break the power that men and women know the power that men and women do see. Sometimes people will complain, why are the churches empty? The churches are empty because
there's no power.
There is no power. There is no power. And when men see power, they will run to it. 2 verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Mm-hmm. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. The end of this story in Daniel chapter 3 is still about power play. At the end of the day, when Nebuchadnezzar saw that from his anger and what he had done, the men would not die, he realized there was a greater power. And in this time, that is all we need the world to know, that the power they think they know, the power of technology, God is ahead of it. Mm-hmm. But if today we cannot portray to the world that God is ahead of all this type of powers, then we have failed. That is why God is raising a new generation. It's not new children who have been born, but the enrollment of that generation is still open to you and me to enter. And when we enter, God is going to use us, that the world will come to a standstill. The world will marvel, why thy kingdom come.
Yeah.
We should also remember that the greatest and final harvest will be reaped in the worst of times. So the more we hear the bad news, the more it should inform us that the harvest is at hand. That is it. So the more we hear bad news, the more we should get ourselves ready. Unfortunately, when we had the pandemic hitting us, the church was not ready to take the opportunity. The church really failed. And that accounts for members and would be members not entering the church today. Mm-hmm. Because they knew that their only hope was the church. But unfortunately, majority or almost all the church failed. They could not give men hope when there was a hopeless situation. Now, fast forward, God is giving us a second chance. Things are changing. Life is becoming more difficult. The world is becoming more evil. That tells us that this is our chance. And I hope we all take it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had their chance. And they took it. They took it. They made use of their chance because they knew the God they were serving. What about you? What about me? Tonight, we want to look at building on the rock. If we can take a chance, then there is a need for us to build our lives on a solid. There is a need for us to build our lives around the rock. We have just mentioned about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who knew what they were leaning on and therefore could reply to Nebuchadnezzar. Tonight, I read again.
Okay. Hello, Roger.
Yeah.
Okay.
The line dropped.
Yes, you are back online.
We are back online. Thank God. We are continuing. I said tonight we are looking at building on the rock. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew who they were leaning on. And therefore, they were not scared when Nebuchadnezzar was doing his antics. They could reply. They were not worried because they knew that the one they had leaned on will come at the right time. He will come at the right time. So tonight, we go through what one man of God saw. He said, as I closed my eyes to pray, I immediately found myself looking at a man on a ski jump. I watched the man push off at the top of the ramp, leaning forward to streamline his body. The man came down the ski ramp at a great speed. Coming off the end, he soared into the air with a great ease and poise and landed perfectly facing down past the finish line. Take note, the finish line. I then heard the loudspeaker announcing that this man had broken the speed record. As I watched, another man prepared himself to make a run down the ski jump. It was then that I noticed the snow was melting really fast. I thought, oh no, it's no longer safe to take the jump. The snow is too soft now. I tried to warn the man, but he could not hear me. And as he began to make his run, he too, coming down the ramp at great speed, as he approached the bottom of the ramp, he caught one of his skis on the side of the ramp. He soared into the air, but began to somersault, losing control. He finally hit the snow with great force, but because the snow was melting, it was only a few inches in depth. The man hit the ground with a sickening thud, breaking his legs. The snow continued to melt, revealing huge rocks and crevices underneath. Where once a smooth pathway of snow carpeted the valley, there was now only rocks and dangerous crevices. It was then I noticed Jesus standing at my side. He spoke, saying, the time that lie ahead will change rapidly. There is very little time left for what you call smooth sailing. Let me just repeat that same portion again.
Yeah.
It was then I noticed Jesus standing at my side. He spoke saying, the times that lie ahead will change rapidly. There is very little time left for what you call smooth sailing. You must mature quickly before the snow melts. Referring to change, bringing in the perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Even the question is, how many of us accept that we are in the last days?
That's the issue.
And as you have been reading this news, serious times, heartless issues, and the rest, how many of us know that perilous times are coming? Mm-hmm. How many of us know that it is just around the corner? And very soon, it will get to our doorstep. The man who was going for the second jump never knew that the snow had started was melting. Said, it was then the scene changed, and I saw two houses which were identical on rocks. The implications was very clear as the scriptures came to me about not building on sand. It was then I heard a sound I could not identify. It sounded a bit like a freight train racing towards me, and I wondered what this was. When suddenly rain hit me with such a force it almost knocked me over. The rain was horizontal, accompanied by a great wind. The sound was deafening, and there was very little warning that it was coming. After a while, the storm eased a little, and when I looked towards where the houses have been, one house was totally demolished, and the other was still standing. The words of scripture tumbled through my mind with great force. And what is this word of scripture? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and heard them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sea. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The Lord again spoke, hear my word and obey them. There must come an emphasis on hearing my words. As the Lord said this, I had a clear understanding that he was talking about the words he had spoken in the scripture. The Lord continued, your life must be founded and built upon obedience to my word. They are the foundation stones that will secure you in the days ahead. Most Christians will study anything but my word. The words that I spoke were the foundation for which all would follow in the New Testament. The epistles of my servant Paul were built upon the words I spoke. Know and obey the words that I have spoken and live. Know and obey the words that I have spoken and live. Why do we grapple with the church knowing where we are today? Why is there so much confusion in the church as to where we are? Why is there so much confusion as to whether it will be rapture first or this first? All is because many of us never read what Jesus spoke about.
Yeah.
The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, has been relegated to the background.
It's true.
And many of us think that we will understand the Pauline epistle without recourse to the Gospel. Mm-hmm. It will never happen. The epistles of Paul were built on the words that Jesus spoke. So for us to have an understanding of our Pauline epistles, we will need to understand what Jesus spoke. If we neglect what Jesus said about the coming days, and we go to what Paul said about the coming days, we will never understand it.
Yeah.
Because Paul was always making references to what has been said. That is why tonight we have been called that we must go back and build our lives upon the words of Jesus. He continues to say, I was reminded of what Jesus said about his words in John. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 14, verse 10. Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. What was Jesus saying? He was telling us that the words that he was speaking to us were coming directly from the Father. So whatever you hear Jesus say, it is like hearing it from the Father. You remember the baptism when the Spirit descended like a dove? What did the Spirit say? He said, this is my beloved Son. Mm-hmm. Hear ye him. But the question is, are we hearing him?
Yeah.
Are we hearing him? The few that has been written down for us, are we ready to even read it? Much more understand it. He says, the words of the Sermon on the Mount began to pass through my mind, and I thought You rarely hear teaching on what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Perilous times are coming. I was amazed how quickly the snow melted and total change occurred. We are living at the end of time, and we need to be diligent in our walk with the Lord and begin to obey his sayings. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Amen. The sayings of mine are not the sayings of Eben. They are not the sayings of Roger. They are the sayings of the Son, who is Christ Jesus. Remember, he said, no man cometh to the Father except by me. So his position cannot be overruled. The constant in the world we live in is that of change, and it is happening more quickly than most of us realize. We have gotten to a time, every Saturday when you read the news, we see something else is happening.
Yeah.
And at which it is happening, I don't know whether we are trying to process it. This afternoon in Accra, the weather changed all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And within the next 30 minutes, it has started raining. And it has rained for over 3 hours. Life is in the same way, changing very fast. And if we can cope with the fast pace of life, if we can cope with what is happening, if we can cope with what is coming to pass, then our only hope is to hang on the words of Jesus. My brother, my sister, my father listening to me, or my fellow pastor, I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you read the words of Jesus? When was the last time you sat down to actually take notice of it? When was the last time you read the Beatitudes? When was the last time? We only say it's all about life. But when you go deep through it, you will now see that is the foundation for the church. That is the foundation for you, me. So that when the world is telling you that when you go this way, you are called blessed, or you are called blessed, we, what, or what heaven response, and call them.
Hello? I think the line. Hello?
Has become.
I think we missed your, if you can repeat your last two or three sentences.
Oh, okay. I was saying that, dear pastor, my sister, my brother listening to me, when was the last time you read the words of Jesus? When was the last time you took notice of the words of Jesus? When was the last time you sat down to really ponder about what Jesus said? Remember, Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. So we cannot neglect the words that he speaks. We cannot overrule them. As a matter of fact, his words are what will hold us in this time. As the world begins to change so fast, the only constant is the word of Christ, what he told us, what he said, so that as you hang on, you will know what he said. I was saying that today, the world is redefining the term blessed. The world is telling you that including everyone makes you blessed. But when you read the words of Jesus, especially in Matthew chapter 5, popularly called the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes, you will come to realize that heaven have a standard. And that standard is what makes you to be called blessed. It is not the standard that men have drawn. And we looked at the European Union example with their sister nation, Hungary. With Hungary just trying to protect the children, everybody says, you have aid. Everyone says, you have aid. And very soon, although they have all come out with their letters, we know economic sanctions will begin coming in. This is where we have gotten to now. The world is changing at a faster pace. Animals are becoming better than humans. And therefore, if you can live as a human being, you cannot neglect the words of Jesus. That should become your foundation stone. That should become the rock on which you stand. That should become the solid rock on which you hold on. Because the times that are coming, the air that is blowing, it will blow on you, it will blow on me. But in that same time, the harvest will begin. In that same time, the great awakening will begin. In that same time, the power of God will start flowing. Who are you holding on to tonight? Who are you holding on to? It's unfortunate that many of us hold on to our pastors more than we hold on to Christ. It is not about the Bible says. It is about what my pastor says. My father, my sister, many of us are going to be disappointed because the winds are blowing and it will blow stronger than we see, stronger than we have heard. The question is, can you stand? Will your foundation be still standing? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood. They were able to stand for God. And at the end of the day, they won the battle for God. We must also stand for the Lord so that we can win the battle for Christ. If you are not ready to win the battle for Christ, someone else will win the battle for him. Because remember, scripture says, if you are not ready to praise him, he will raise stones to praise him. So if that means that it is an opportunity for us today to stand well and stand firm and continue in him, because he has plenty of substitutes. When Elijah thought he was the only one left, the Lord told him, there are more prophets there, 450. This evening, as you contemplate on these issues that we have brought to your doorstep, please hold on to the word of God. Hold on to the words of Jesus. Because in these times, without him, was nothing made that was made. God bless you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor Roger. Let me just finish up with the words of this hymn now. I believe it's a popular hymn. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. The next second stanza says, it is safely moored till the storm withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand, and the cables pass from his heart to mine, can defy the blast through strength divine. And the third says, it will firmly hold in the straits of fear, when the breakers have told the reef is near. Though the tempest rave and the wild winds blow, not an angry wave shall our back overflow. And then the last stanza says, it will surely hold in the floods of death, when the waters cold chill our latest breath. on the rising tide, it can never fail, while our hopes abide within the veil. So will your anchor hold in the storms of life? The spiritual storms are gradually beginning to blow, gradually. You know, we've all seen the rains this week, and the havoc is caused in some areas and all. And you see, when you see the clouds gathering, you know, you can see some type of clouds gathering, and you know that as for this one, you have to speed up and get to a safe place quickly because it's going to rain. And the spiritual clouds have gathered very, very, very thick, and virtually, you know, if you hear what I've been reading the news in the last few weeks, months, these are the spiritual clouds gathering, and the signals are getting clearer and clearer where we are spiritually in God's timeline, that something is behind the scenes. You can classify it, sometimes I call it like the calm before the storm. So you see, it looks just like everything is calm, there's nothing at stake, nothing on the horizon, but a lot is coming behind the scenes. A lot is happening behind the scenes in the spiritual realm, and eventually it will unfold in and be practical and be real. I mean, as Len put it that way. You see, so we have to really be grounded. These are the times. You see, there's a time to prepare. So when you miss the time to prepare, it becomes difficult to prepare. You see, because just like a student who is preparing for an exam, you don't prepare for the exam when the exam has started. Because when the exam has started, that's it, you are being tested. At that moment, that's not when you are going to learn. The season for preparation is now. This is the season for preparation. And this is the time to deepen our roots, our anchor. This is the time to get deeper in Christ and be grounded firmly in Him. Because as for the storms, they are coming. That one, I can assure you, the storms are coming. The spiritual storms are coming. And it is those who are well grounded in Him who would be able to stand spiritually, who will be able to stand and do His work effectively, who will be able to make an impact in the world spiritually, the souls, the harvest, and all. We must push ourselves to the limit. You see, we need to save time so that we can use our time wisely. These are not the times to be wasting our time on things that are virtually, let me call it, useless. They have no bearing. They are just draining us away. Just draining our time and wasting our lives. We have to be wise and start redeeming the time quickly. See, the devil knows the game. He knows how to play the game. And one way of making us lose focus and fail to cause us to fail to prepare adequately is to occupy us and get us busy with the non-essentials of life. So, yes, you are busy, but it doesn't add value to you. Sometimes, spiritually and physically, nothing. It doesn't add any value to you. It's just, you are just draining your time away, just wasting your life. Let's identify the time wasters in our lives and deal with them whilst we have time. You see, the time wasters are virtually, if you are to place value on time, you realize how important it is. So the time wasters are just draining us away spiritually. They are just wasting your life. And it can be things as well as people. There are some friends who are time wasters. Because you attach yourself to them and they draw you back spiritually. They draw you back into sin. They draw you back into lifestyles which you've struggled to come out of. These type of friends, we are getting to that point where you have to cut some things off, be it people or be it things. Things can be, social media, entertainment, sports. It's time we cut some things off, which are just draining our time. And because, you see, if you see something coming and you prepare ahead of time, that is wisdom. That is wisdom. And I believe these are the times to get ourselves prepared that way, because we need to apply wisdom. We really need to apply wisdom. And it's very, very important, because, and I'm looking for a certain verse. Okay. Don't know whether I've, okay, I think I've forgotten. Well, anyway, but it's, okay. Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So these are the times that, if you've been listening to this program for some time, you can foresee the evil coming. You can foresee the evil days. The dark clouds are gathering. Also, the light is also beginning to shine. So you have to hide yourself in the Lord fully. It's the same getting yourself in the rock, fasting yourself in your anchor that is based on Christ. Hide yourself in Christ, because the days coming are not pleasant, and it takes wisdom to do that. Issues of Life is the program. Thank God for tonight, and sorry for earlier in the program, the timing, a little issues with, so I couldn't start it on time, but it was fixed then. I was able to continue. The program will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and the Telegram group, so you can search for Spirit Issues and you can also get it there. All right. Thank you for listening. I had Pastor Roger joining from Accra as we talked about the revival and the coming awakening. And I gave earlier in the program to, I talked about parents, the digital parenting. We'll be getting to it soon. And it's quite a major issue to talk about in these days, especially now that evil is really being pushed into our faces all over the place. Parents have to understand some of the dynamics of what is happening and all. So in the next few weeks, we'll be getting into it as well. And I believe we'll learn a lot as we get into that period. All right. So good night, and God bless you.